Welcome to episode 360 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 9th of January 2016. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 p.m. Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone app. Your hosts for today are Brad, Brent, Jacob, Steve, and myself, Daryl.
Hi everyone, Jeff here from Gojo Media. I do in-depth and fun food reviews on YouTube. To find me, just search for Gojo Media Jeff.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha, stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Ha, ha. Tech, 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 tech webcast. Let's go!
It's Tech Webcast, episode number 360, the first one for 2016. So happy new year to all our listeners out there. Happy New Year, Brad.
Happy New Year, Daryl. How are you, mate? Welcome back.
Good, mate. Yeah, good. Can't complain.
Can't complain. How was your Christmas and New Year, mate?
It was good. Yeah, it went too quick. I sort of blinked my eyes thinking, oh, I've got a week between Christmas and New Year off work, and then I blinked my eyes again and I'm back to work. But I guess it means I had a good time then. It just went so quickly.
Good stuff. Good stuff, mate. And good to have you back on for another
thank
year.
You. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Good to have you on. Okay, let's go to Jacob. Jacob, welcome back, mate. How's your Christmas and New Year, mate? Good to have you back on.
All right, and it was a hot Christmas for once.
What?
A hot Christmas.
It was hot.
I mean, otherwise.
It was hot for you.
Yeah, normally it's, by Christmas, it's cold.
Okay.
That was interesting. For us here in Texas, too.
Interesting. Okay.
That's what they call an El Nino.
So what did you get for Christmas, Jacob? Anything exciting, mate?
Nothing really. I just went out for a little while.
Yeah.
Went to the store and ordered some stuff off the internet that my mom couldn't find for me.
Right, okay. So what did you get? That was the question.
Mork and Mindy.
Okay, that's a DVD set, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good stuff, mate.
Have you seen it?
I have seen the show, yes. I have seen the show. It's not a bad show. It's a good show.
Nano, nano.
Good show. Nano, nano. And also we got Brent back on. Welcome, Brent. You've been on this podcast before, mate. Good to have you back on as a first episode in 2016.
Yeah, glad to be here. Hi, gentlemen. Happy to be on the first 2016 episode with
good stuff, mate. Good stuff, good stuff. And how's your Christmas and New Year, mate?
Relatively uneventful. I got sea monkeys from Santa. I don't know if you know what those are, but they're basically dehydrated brine fish eggs that kids can add to water in a little tank, and then these creepy little things come to life over the course of a couple of days.
They still do that. God, I can remember when I was a kid, they used to advertise it on television, sea monkeys, all the time. Then it just disappeared.
I think it came out in 67, and they went away for a couple of years, and they've been back since. And believe it or not, they still sell them.
All right. Good stuff, mate. Any else exciting, Brent?
Not a thing.
All right. Coming back to you very shortly, Brent. We're going to talk about CES and that sort of stuff and some Apple stuff, whatever. Steve, how's your week been, mate? And Happy New Year, and how's your Christmas and all that fun stuff?
Oh, it's been really good. Visited the family, came down. And then New Year's, we went we spent at the New Year's Eve party. Filmed it for my show as well, and
Sweet.
we won the grand prize, the booze wagon's worth about $800.
Oh wow, what's that?
It's like a wagon you can buy tickets for, and then it's full. It's got like 12 bottles of whiskey and champagne and, you know, different alcoholic beverages. And then the wagon comes with it. It's a real nice wagon, too.
That's all right.
So it looks like it's going to be a fun time at Steve's in 2016.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. We're going to party hard.
So much alcohol.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, we made a lot of friends after that.
I'm sure you did.
You sure you did? That's it.
Hey, careful we don't hear Barney from The Simpsons when he's at the pub.
Oh, yes.
Steve, do you have the new Apple TV?
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked about it, I think, last year.
We did?
I think we did.
I can't remember. It was so long ago. What's your view on the new Apple TV so far? I've got one.
Oh, yeah. I definitely like it. I haven't done the Siri too much, but there's obviously the main applications, Netflix. Crackle's a nice one, too. They have some new movies coming out on that. And then a couple of times we rented and bought some movies from iTunes.
Sweet. Yeah, same. I love doing that. Especially with Siri and Apple Music, you can just tell what to play and where it goes.
I think, too, I could somehow access my music as well, I think.
Yep. All right. Daryl, did you get an Apple TV for Christmas, or did you get any exciting for Christmas?
Nothing really exciting, but I bought myself a mixer for Christmas.
Cool.
Christmas, New Year, it's a Yamaha AG06, I think, is the name of it, and it's got two microphone inputs, and it plugs directly via USB into a computer. So, and you just install the drivers, it just picks it up as a audio device. And I've sort of been, between the Christmas and New Year, I've been playing around with it, and I've sort of been able to set it up with the microphone and to record the audio out to my little Zune H2N, which is a little audio recording, like video audio, voice audio recorder, and which is really nice because it means sort of recording that way too. You take a bit of stress off the computer, because if you're running, like, you know, you're running, say, a Skype call or you're running a Hangout, that puts a load on the computer, and then you're recording to the computer, that puts additional. So if you can actually output it to another device, then that helps. I think that helps sometimes with less chance of things crashing. But yeah, I'm still learning. I'm still a real noob when it comes to mixers, so I'm still going along. But yeah, it's good. It's so far so good.
All right, good stuff. So Jennifer and Jody are not on today. They'll be back hopefully very soon, so stay tuned for that. And Daryl, let's go to you first, mate. What's your highlight going to be for 2016, you reckon? What sort of things are you looking forward to seeing?
I think the continuation of how streaming media is going to, you know, like in Australia, for example,
exactly.
we're a little bit behind the US as far as we're not as a mature, you know, as net as the US is. And so I think it's how it's going to be shaken out. I mean, you've got Netflix, and Netflix have now launched in another 130 odd countries.
That's it, yep.
You've still got, you know, Stan and Presto, which are the local offerings
here
in Australia, which are, you know, fighting it out. I mean, you've got Apple sitting in the background too with its services, and then you've got Foxtel, which, you know, I saw on your Facebook post the other day, Brad, they just announced, you know, Game of Thrones Series 6, which is one of their big, you know, big programs. And so here it's going to really, I think 2016 is going to be the year of, will all of these services survive, or will they sort of, you know, what will happen, and who, you know, and again, it's content. Who'll get the lion's share of the content and be able to sort of, you know, push it out to people, because that's it. I mean, Netflix is great, but if it doesn't get enough content, local content and enough content here in Australia, people will move. And so it's going to be who's going to do the deals, get the content and get it out to you and I at a reasonable cost.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. We need HBO here, I reckon. We need HBO.
Well, that's the other thing, you know, how long will it be before groups like HBO say, hey, why deal with a television network in Australia to get our programs? Mm. Why not just deal directly with Australians? You know, it may exactly. be that, you know, they may find eventually that the cost of just saying to Australians, subscribe to HBO direct to us, is they make more money out of that than doing a deal with a commercial TV network exactly. here in Australia.
I'll tell you something now. If they ever do come to Australia, HBO, Foxtel will be dead.
Yeah, that's the thing for Foxtel, and it's also the issue for our commercial networks, because they buy, you know, they go off every year and they go to the US and they buy in the series and but eventually with streaming and all that, you know, if for example a big American network said, well, hey, there's a million Australians that love our program, we can charge them this, the networks are only offering us XYZ, who knows that in the future you might find more programming sidestepping the commercial networks and coming straight from the US through streaming services.
Mm. Have you checked out Stan yet, Daryl, at all?
Not yet. No, I might actually do the 30-day trial and just... because that's.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the good thing about it is because they're so cheap, in like a month, you can have a couple of them and it's not going to break the bank.
No, not at all.
And that's the good thing. It's not like we're being, you know, it's not like they're really expensive. And so, yeah, I might give Stan a run this year.
Yeah, have a look. See how you go. You won't be disappointed. There's a lot of shows on there.
No. I'm not welded on to any of them. I mean, if Netflix is fine, but if it doesn't keep adding content that I like, if I start struggling to find stuff to watch, you know, I'm quite happy to cancel and go somewhere else. You know, I'm not just going to sit there because it's Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Brent, what's your view on this? I know you use a lot of streaming services. Is that correct, mate?
Yeah, I do. And I've made what they consider a cord cutter here in the States, meaning that I keep an internet connection, but I no longer pay directly for pay TV cable service anymore. I think with HBO... their game plan is global because they have now, as far as I understand, have made a pretty significant purchase in the infrastructure to provide the streaming to North America first. And since they've basically bought all this infrastructure, this customer service, this billing apparatus, and all this stuff they had to have to do streaming that they never had to do for cable, it's just now a matter of signing the deals and then getting... launches out internationally, so it's probably just a matter of time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. What do you use for you, yourself, Brent?
In the U.S., Netflix is real good, and that keeps me going for pretty much everything, and I try real hard to not venture out and make other purchases on the side, but of course that's here and there, inevitable, but Netflix mainly for me.
Okay, interesting. Now, I was listening to a podcast a few weeks back called The TV Show, Jake. Is that correct, the one I showed you?
I think so.
I think it might have been you or Daryl, I'm not sure, but anyway. Renee Ritchie was mentioning he cut the cable a while back and all he uses now is just the Apple TV 4 as his main device in the lounge room. And that's all he uses.
So I don't think it's easy to do. I think it takes a lot of discipline because I tried cutting the cord back in 2008, I think, before I moved here. And I think I ordered Comcast a week later.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it. He must just, I don't know, he just probably just buys TV shows and streams the news or whatever. I don't know how he does it, but it's good on him for doing it. And there must be apps out there that you can get around and use, you know.
I think it depends on what you like to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you love, you know, what offerings primetime TV have, then it's much harder. If you like me, for example, I tend to like documentaries. I tend to, you know, watch podcasts. I tend to, you know, I mean, I like a bit of sport, of course, as well. But so it would be easier for me to, if you like, I don't have pay TV, but to sort of cut the cord to, you know, say commercial TV, because it's not a lot of programs on commercial TV that I would miss.
Right.
But if you're a big commercial TV or you love you know, that sort of stuff, it would be very hard. You'd have to be sort of very disciplined or try and find some apps to get around it.
I'm sure he knows what he's doing because he cut the cable a long time ago and he's got the Apple TV now and he uses that, and that's just the main device that he uses every time to watch TV and watch video and that. But yeah, interesting. Steve, what about you, mate? What's your view on all this?
I mean, I currently have Time Warner Cable, or yeah, currently still. I mean, I have Netflix and so on. With Netflix, it seems like it takes a while for them to put episodes on and new content. Of course, I'm not really blaming them per se, because often they have to make deals with the content providers, and sometimes they have to wait and all that. But probably why I'm continuing to use cable for the time being.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Just another mention on the Apple TV. Here in Australia, we've got a couple of new apps. 7 Plus is on there now, and 7 Tennis, which is good. If you're into watching tennis, that you can stream that live, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that, again, it's the commercial networks realizing that if they're not on devices like the Apple TV, you know, popular devices, people are going to forget about them. And I think that they need to be in people's faces to sort of remind people, hey, we still have commercial networks here in Australia, and they're suddenly realizing that also that people don't want to watch programs when the networks decide to put it on. I mean, people have moved past that now. They want to watch shows and things when they feel like it. And I think that's the idea, you know, the catch-up TV. Again, I know we're a little bit behind the US in that, but the catch-up TV and all that sort of stuff is now the realisation by the networks that people aren't going to sit around the TV at 8 o'clock and say, oh, XYZ show's come on. They're going to be saying, when can I see it?
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens down the track in 2016. See what happens. What's big? What about you, Jacob? What do you want to see in 2016, mate?
For me, lose a lot of weight and stuff be changed and get the gigabit internet out here.
Right.
They're doing something totally different with it. They're putting it to the coax lines instead of just laying fiber. So it'll be straight cable.
Okay.
I can only dream of gigabit. So, yeah, I can only dream of that sort of speed.
Yeah, exactly. I hope we get some fast internet too soon. What else, Jacob? What else?
What's up?
What else you want to say?
I was just saying, when you get the NBN.
NBN, well, I don't know when that's going to happen. But.
Well, it depends on the part of the country you live in. Yeah. It's a rollout, so it's still rolling out, and probably the last places won't get it till probably 2020 or something like that. But even that is not going to give that sort of speed that Jacob's talking about, well, at least initially, because at the moment it's fiber to the node, not fiber to the home. And so we've still got things like coax, and we've still got things like copper that's going to get in between us and the fiber. So it'll be better than what we've got, but at the moment we're certainly not going to get, you know, massive speed increases like gigabit type connections, unfortunately.
But anyway, so what happens? What about you, Brent? What's your prediction for 2016, mate? Anything?
Well, from the technology side, I think it's going to be very interesting to follow the beginning of deployment of virtual reality. I think that's what's next in terms of the next big thing. And it begins, I think, in 2016, and I can't wait to see how that unfolds.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see. What about self-driving cars? And I've seen Robert Scoble in one when he was at CES, a BMW one. What do you think about them?
I'm a little concerned about them because every single manufacturer, at least here in the U.S., is making their announcements of their roadmap, pardon the pun, of their timeline to launch somewhat autonomous vehicles or fully automatic driving vehicles. And some of these timeframes are pretty quick, like in just a few years. So I don't quite understand it. I haven't really been pursuing it in much detail. I think the Tesla angle is more impressive than anything, where no infrastructure is needed. It's all built into the car, and it becomes a super-duper automatic cruise control, where it is not fully automatic, but helps you quite a bit. I don't know, all good stuff. I enjoy driving. I have no need to see that go away. In fact, that kind of scares me, the idea that that may not become an option for the remainder of my life, drive my own car. VR is where I hope it's going to be.
Definitely, so, mate.
I can live with VR. That's not too scary.
I agree, mate. I can't wait. Yeah. What about the new iPhone and stuff? iPhone 7, that sort of thing. That sort of stuff. iPhone, and that should be interesting.
It sounds like they're starting to ramp up production, and it sounds like they may be launching for the first time off schedule and doing launch of an iPhone in March during the end of winter of these new return to old small form factors. So that's interesting that they would go back to a different size or maybe add a third size option and a launch something in March. If any or all of that's true, that would certainly be unique.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to hear about that.
It certainly shows that they've moved away from Steve Jobs, finally. You know, I mean, I think he would have looked at some of those things and gone, but, I mean, I think Apple's showing now that it's setting a new course.
Yep, definitely. All right, let's go to the news, and then we'll come back and have a chat about the news stories.
And since we're mentioning virtual reality, we do have a VR-related news story. And this comes from The Verge. How long will VR-ready PCs actually be virtual reality-ready? Now that Oculus is officially opened, pre-orders on the Rift, the question of the day is whether a potential buyer's computer can support it. The Rift, along with HTC's Vive, requires that currently a $1,000 or more PC with top-of-the-line graphics card capable of rendering the high resolution and super-fast frame rates. Gaming hardware companies like NVIDIA, which makes many of these graphic cards, recently estimated that only 13 million PCs will fit the bill next year. And from iMore, we have Apple TV will soon get its own dedicated iHeartRadio app. Music fans will be able to access thousands of live radio stations via the new Apple TV set-top box. The iHeartRadio announced plans to launch its own dedicated Apple TV app in the near future. And from Neowin, we have Lenovo to phase out Motorola brand name this year. 2 years ago, Lenovo announced that it would acquire Motorola Mobility in a deal valued at $2.9 billion, taking the company away from Google. At the time, the Chinese manufacturer had said that it would retain the Motorola branding and the company would operate as a separate division inside Lenovo. However, that doesn't seem to be the case anymore, as it has been revealed that the Motorola name will be phased out this year and its own mobile operations will be unified with Lenovo. Some more from Neowin. We have 200,000 people are petitioning against dropping the headphone jack in an unannounced iPhone 7. And this comes from a rumor that the iPhone jack is going to be removed and headphone jack will have to be done through the Lightning cable. There have been several unconfirmed reports that various media outlets that Apple is considering dropping the headphone jack in favor of an all-in-one Lightning connector in its upcoming iPhone 7. While this rumor obviously has not been corroborated by Apple, hundreds of thousands of people have already petitioning against dropping the 3.5 headphone jack in an unannounced iPhone 7. And our last story comes from the Business Insider. This device lets you watch broadcast TV shows with the convenience of Netflix and without having to pay for cable. Cord cutters who ditch their cable subscriptions can still get access to the major broadcast networks like CBS or ABC for free just by installing an antenna. But the problem with this system is that you actually have to watch the program at the scheduled time or have a DVR tied to just your TV. For those who have fled TV and live mostly in the world of Netflix and Hulu, the idea of not being able to watch shows whenever they want on whatever platform they are in the mood for can be irritating. Tableau is a device that solves this problem by recording broadcast TV and lets you play it back whenever you want. And here's a traditional DVR is connected to a single TV via HDMI cable. Tableau uses Wi-Fi to let you stream those recorded shows on any compatible device you want. And those are the tech story news of the week.
Thank you, Steve, for reading the news. Good job, mate. Let's go to Daryl. What's your view on them stories, mate?
Well, I think the broadcast TV shows with the convenience of Netflix, I think that's sort of, well, that's what we were talking about earlier, you know, that the content, cord cutting and being able to, you know, watch things when you want to watch them and not be forced to watch stuff that the networks, you know, have scheduled at a certain time. And I think it's just another nail in the coffin of sort of having, you know, programming and having to sit on the television, sit by the TV and say, oh, it's 8 o'clock, I better watch, you know, what's coming up. So it's just another, it's just a more moving away to content being at your convenience, yep, rather than it being at the convenience of the networks. The headphone jack one, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, Apple at times, you know, like when they changed the 30-pin connector, I mean, it was a good thing to change the 30-pin connector because there were often issues with it. Because of the shape of it, it would often break at right near the end. The cord would break or crack. But then, you know, people have bought a lot of Apple devices and a lot of the peripherals that go with them. It is frustrating when suddenly, you know, a new iPhone comes out and all their other attachments won't work anymore and they've got to go and, you know, spend maybe hundreds of dollars, buy more cables and stuff like that. So I do understand it, but iPhone 7 hasn't even been announced yet. So yeah, maybe people are jumping the gun in to say that, you know, Apple's going to change anything. But yeah, it's what you think of whether you want to change a cable or whether the fact is that Apple are doing the right thing because maybe they're going to put a better cable, who knows. But Motorola will buy Motorola, I guess. That's all you can really say about Lenovo is phasing out the Motorola brand name. So it was around a long time, Motorola as a brand. So I had a Motorola flip phone going back many years ago. So yeah, bye-bye Motorola. The VR, I guess it's a matter now, unless you're really wanting to be first off the lot, it's better to wait a little bit of time and see what PC specs are required, not just to run it, but to run VR well, unless you're someone who wants to be on the first wave of the technology. I think for most other people, it's sit back a little bit and wait and see which PCs, because you don't want to spend, you know, maybe thousands of dollars on a new PC to find that it's not compatible or it's slow or whatever when you're trying to use Oculus. And yeah, another app for Apple, iHeartRadio app, just more content.
Yeah, exactly. It's always good to have more apps on the Apple TV to choose from.
Yeah, more content. Yeah, can't have too much content.
Exactly. What about, are you still using Spotify, Daryl?
Yeah, I enjoy Spotify. I just like the fact that it's content. The music I like, and because I guess I'm getting old, and I sort of have I'm not, you know, into hip-hop and stuff as much, and the music that I enjoy, it's there. And so I can just go and play, you know, and save it and play it and stuff like that. But I'm enjoying Spotify so far.
Yeah, I want to see it on the Apple TV. I want an app on the Apple TV.
Well, that'd be something that, you know, if Spotify, you know, it would benefit Spotify. You know, the more platforms Spotify can be on, just like our commercial networks, the more platforms you can be on, the more audience you get.
Talking of Spotify, I'll just say it right now that I am getting some codes to give away to people that listen to this podcast.
Woohoo!
For Spotify Premium. So,
wow!
Listen, so just stay tuned, and I'll tell you how you can win one.
Excellent.
Yeah, sounds good. And what about Jacob? What's your view on them stories, mate?
Well, the one with the headset port on the iPhone 7, Daryl's right. They're jumping the gun too quickly.
To change the port on the phone?
Yeah, before they even wanted to change the headsets as well.
Yeah, I think it's time to change... To put out a new set of headphones from Apple.
But
But it really depends. Well, it really depends on what. I mean, what new? What we don't know what the new device or what the new and what reasoning they're doing it for. It might be they've got a good reason for doing it. It might be to add functionality. It might be to do something else. But it's really hard to know until they actually come out and say why.
Yeah, I very rarely use the headphones on my iPhone. I don't know about you, Daryl. Do you use it much?
I don't use the earbuds that come with the iPhone. I've got a couple of Sony headsets, and I use that when I can plug it into my iPad or the iPhone if I'm listening to music or if I'm watching, say, a movie on Netflix through my iPad. I'll be a little bit. I mean, I'm not that I'm in a, but I'll be a little bit grumpy if it disappears and there's no. If there's a really good reason for it, if they say, look, we've got better audio quality with this, with a new plug or a new, then I'll be happy. But if it's just more, oh, well, we've decided to change it because we've had it here for so many years, I'll be a little bit grumpy. But anyway, if they've got an adapter, hopefully they'll have an adapter.
Yeah.
If nothing else that you can adapt it back to that. But Jacob said it is jumping the gun at the moment because no one knows. I mean, it's really just speculation.
Exactly, yeah. All right, what about you, Brent? What's your view on them stories, mate?
I think this is a very, very, very Apple thing to do based on their history. They like to force adoption and like to do it before most people think they should. The iMac is a great example. That was the first real mainstream adoption of USB ports, which is fine, but they got rid of serial. And the first main adoption of CD-ROM drives, which of course is fine, but they got rid of floppy disks, so no one was really ready for that. Same thing with MacBook Air. When they said, this is not going to sell with just a power port and two other, that's not going to work. And despite all these things, people seem motivated enough to just work around what Apple deems is no longer necessary. So, but I think you're right earlier to the point of it's too early to figure out what their long-term game plan or even if this is accurate. The Motorola thing is scary to me. That's such a iconic brand in the United States for so many decades, and it's been incredible watching this company unravel in the last several years of being bought up by Google and basically parsed just for their patent portfolio. And then I didn't even know Lenovo acquired them. I guess Google said no thanks. And I think Google's plan was they were going to make these customizable phones, that the Moto X was going to be the real major push for justifying the purchase. But sad to hear we won't be hearing that brand or the name anymore.
Interesting. Jacob, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, mate. You had more to say. Go ahead.
Thank you. And I was wanting to talk about Netflix.
Go ahead.
If they bought the broadcast TV for nearly nothing for people, a lot of people would be happy. Right?
Yeah, they definitely. Yep.
And also the Lenovo to phase out the Motorola name. Yeah, then you'll have no more commercials saying, hello, Moto.
But if you remember, they had the Razr. They were sitting on top of the whole world of the smartphones right before the smartphone took over. They were the top of the flip phone market.
Yeah, I had a Motorola Razr,
Everybody had a Motorola Razr. Or at least everybody knows at least five people that had one, you know. And that's not a lot of time to now officially be dust, to crumble that quickly, to make so many bad calls. It's the exact same story almost with BlackBerry and RIM. Just a lot of bad decisions and a quick rise and a quick fall as well.
And I think Google, when Google bought them and they had the Moto X, that my biggest gripe being here in Australia was the fact that it took forever for Google to push these phones out internationally. And we were sitting, I think the original Moto X, it was almost 12 months after it was launched before it got to Australia. And I kept, you know, on various forums saying to Google, when are you going to release this stuff outside North America? I mean, because Apple's not sitting back saying, we'll wait for Google. Apple's releasing stuff and they release it in multiple markets from day one, whereas Google seems to sort of just drag the chain at times. And so I think that certainly didn't help if Google's game plan was to actually have that as their mobile phone division, the fact that they took so long to get it into international markets.
Yeah, I think when the story gets written on the demise of Motorola, there's definitely going to be a major chapter devoted to the Moto X and how it was awesome on paper, and a lot of people got excited about a great stock Android smartphone experience directly from Google, but in reality, it ended up being, I guess, kind of underwhelming, slow rollout, and not much demand for the customization offerings.
Yes, I had a heated exchange online with Guy Kawasaki, who at the time was employed as the sort of Moto X, you know, chief marketing officer and all that. And I kept saying to him, well, when are you going to roll it out in Australia? And the best he could say to me was, oh, well, you've got Vegemite in Australia. I mean, you should be satisfied with that. So that was coming from their chief marketing, you know, person.
Yeah.
So I thought, well,
Guy
Kawasaki, great.
Kind of, I think Guy Kawasaki is a known jerk to begin with and non-traditional his PR communications.
Yes, yes. I mean, I obviously made a lot of money, obviously, but I mean, yeah, it annoyed me intently.
All right, Brent, anything else you want to say, mate?
No, good round of story. I'll just mention real quick on the VR front, the idea of the PCs requiring thousands of dollars to become an adequate, even a tolerable experience for the Oculus Rift really does amaze me, but I don't usually go in for this kind of stuff, and I'm not much of a video gamer, but I am intending to get on this first wave and start planning on the investment to get in on this, because I really think this is going to be one of those things where we all want to be there from the beginning. I think 3D was a completely failed attempt to generate a new upgrade cycle for people to buy new home television sets, and it didn't happen. And we all know why, because it's not a compelling experience. VR, as far as everyone who's touched it and used it, is compelling. The Oculus Rift is the next big thing, and no one seems to be shying away from it. It's just a matter of, can they get away pricing it as high as they have with such incredible specs? And they're probably going to sell out in a couple days, I would bet. We'll see. That, to me, is the most interesting thing.
All right, cool.
VR does.
Jacob, do you anything else you want to say, mate?
I just want to say, the VR, what if it hooked up to the Xbox and stuff like that? Now that would be awesome.
Would be very awesome.
Now, people would be jumping aboard that quick if the Xbox itself had enough power under its belt to do that.
How much are they to buy at all? Do you know, Brent, the price at all, mate?
Right now, Oculus Rift is $700, and then the lowest PC that can run it is about $2,000 or something like that. So you're about, or maybe a little less than that. I think it was about $1,800 to $2,000 to buy an Oculus and a PC.
Right. What are the ones you put it over your face and you can use your phone with it? What's that one called? What are they called?
I have that. That's the Google. I think you're talking about the Google Cardboard program where it's
That and there's something else. You put it over your face. It's not cardboard, but something else. Like
Everyone's got one. I mean, Sony's got one. They call it the Orb or something.
Yeah,
we heard that from Steve about the HTC Vive is a big one that's trying to come out. And I think the Xbox One and the PS4 are already, you know, designed from scratch to have some sort of VR component come out at some point when it's ready.
Interesting.
But the Oculus is the one that interests me the most.
I mean, Microsoft, as Jake is right, if you could hook it up to a fully powered Xbox. But I think Microsoft is not sitting on its hands either. I think it's got a very good research and development area, and I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out with something pretty good for the Xbox.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree. I can't wait to see what they do with the Xbox. Let's go to Steve real quick. Steve, what's your view on them stories, mate?
The interesting one about the iPhone 7 supposedly getting rid of their phone jack.
Yep.
Of course, Apple has in the past gotten rid of some technology like floppies and CD-ROM drives. And, of course, this could just be a rumor and blown out of proportion. We'll see. If it is going to getting rid of course, Apple has done things like this in the past where they want to simplify their phones. Perhaps I think they're going more toward Bluetooth headphones or something like that, because it all depends on how many people still use their earbuds or something like that, or they're, you know, using the wireless headsets or something like that. And then if they are going to get rid of it, then I see perhaps a third-party manufacturer making some kind of adapter where you can plug in your, you know, your earbud jack or something like that. So that'll be interesting.
Yep, sure will be, Steve. And is that what – any else you want to say, Steve?
Let me see. There was also on the Tableau, I guess. We have actually seen that with the BoxyBox. They're implementing a TV – I'm trying to think of the word here TV tuner that you simply plug into your I believe it was a USB port. That way you can get your broadcast – aerial into your device. So that would be interesting for cord cutters.
Yeah, definitely. What about CES? Have you caught anything at CES, Steve, that's caught your eye at all, mate?
I think there has been some release of some consumer 4K cameras or video cameras, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, 4K is getting more prevalent, so... that's the only thing I think I've seen so far. There's probably a lot more that is out there.
There's so much stuff I've seen, so much, and so many cool TVs and that sort of thing. And
I think it'll be sort of like a week or two of digesting.
I want to go. Yeah. I reckon it'd be cool to walk around there and look at all the cool new things and that sort of stuff.
Toys.
Yeah, toys. Daryl, did you catch any of the CES, mate?
Not actually, because I've had such a busy week. Work week, I haven't had a chance to sort of sit down, and I usually sort of, you know, watch a few of the podcasts, Tom Merritt and a few others that sort of do some stuff from CES, and you sort of get the highlights of what they consider to be the interesting stuff. And I haven't had a chance, but I will be over the weekend and next week. And I think it takes a good week or two from to sort of digest what's coming out and what the various outlets that are there are promoting what is the next big thing, like, you know, VR and what other stuff, like, you know, 4K TVs and all this stuff. And then there's usually a few things that sort of slide in under the radar that catches people's eye. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to sort of finding out what's coming up. I too would like to go for a wander around CES. So someone out there should sponsor us. To send the Tech Webcast crew to CES.
I reckon it'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I reckon it'd be. We all should go.
We all should go. Yeah,
sure, we should go. Yep, that's it. Brent, what about you? Any CES highlights, mate, you've seen?
Nothing yet. I'm sure I will, but in the same way, I kind of like to let the weekend and let the blogs digest everything. But definitely. I don't think there were any major headlines or any unexpected announcements. Everything seems to be incremental updates and technology improving every industry and across the world. But nothing huge per se as of yet.
What about you, Jacob?
Well, nothing CES, but I read a few days yesterday.
Right.
Something new from D-Link.
Okay.
It's they're going to be putting out the new smart alarm detector.
Interesting.
Which that is, like, if you have to have it 50 feet from a normal, any fire alarm, what it'll do is, if the device detects your alarm, it'll shoot you a notification saying, hey, so-and-so... such and such fire alarm went off in this location.
Okay. Sounds very interesting.
And it's called the MyLink, by
all
the
right,
way.
Cool. We'll check it out. Thanks for that information, Jacob. Daryl, we came across an app before the podcast called Peach.
Yeah.
Interesting name.
I think, as you were saying, it was from one of the co-founders of Vine.
Yep.
And so I think because it was a co-founder of Vine, it tended to get a bit of a life of its own, and it seems to be people are rushing to sort of download it. We downloaded it not that long before we started the podcast and had an initial sort of muck around trying to sort of figure out how it all works.
And yep.
At the moment, there doesn't seem to be anything on it for me that I go, wow, I must have this. This is going to really change the way I communicate with people. But we'll just wait and see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
It's a new version. yeah, it doesn't cost you anything to download it on your phone and have a play with it and just see where it goes. But there's just such a huge number of messaging communication style apps out now that it will have to do something pretty good to cut through, you know, even things like Facebook Messenger and all the rest. It'll have to do something pretty good to cut through
That. Definitely. I think it's just a big deal because it's the co-founder from Vine. That's it. Simple as that.
Yep.
Simple as that. Next week we have an announcement next week, Daryl. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we do about sponsorship on Tech Webcast. Yep. So listen in next week. You don't miss next week's podcast for more information. It's been
very interesting to hear about all this. And also, if you would like a $10 iTunes card, I have four here. I have one, may give one to one person if you send us a tweet at Tech Webcast and let us know what you thought of this episode and the best answer. I will give one to one person.
Excellent.
Australia and only.
Australian only, because it will not work in the USA. We need to work something out for other people in different countries for giveaways maybe.
Yeah, that's something to think about. But yeah, for your Aussies out there,
if you get to it, exactly. Yeah, listen to the podcast, tweet us Tech Webcast and tell us what you think of the first episode back in 2016. I'll give you a $10 iTunes card to so you can use in the iTunes store. So just tweet us at Tech Webcast and that's it. And we'll pick the best answer. Maybe when do you want to pick the answers? Daryl, next week or during the week?
Yeah, next week. I reckon next week.
All right, next week. Sounds good.
Announce it next week on the podcast. So, again, listen in to make sure because you might be the winner.
Yep, definitely. And where can they get hold of you, Daryl, if they want to ask you any more questions, mate? And
I hang around Twitter. My handle at Twitter is LearnScape. I'm also probably the last person left on Google Plus, so I haven't shut the door and turned off the light yet. So you can find me at Google Plus, Daryl Hunt, and my website is darylhunt.net.
Good stuff, mate. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Oz and Tech Webcast. Also, shout out to Kim Flowers. She's been doing some work on my blog, and great on her. She's very smart, and thank you for her time for doing that for me. Jacob Jones, what about you, mate?
You can follow me at jazzbot32669 1z.
All right, good stuff. Do you want to mention the Xbox stuff? You've been playing with the Windows 10, though?
Yes, of course.
Go ahead.
I've been using the app I just upgraded to Windows 10, and I'm messing with the new Xbox app. Oh, my goodness.
You love it.
Be able to watch my stream from my Xbox. I watch it on my computer and play at the same time. That's nice. At full AP.
1080p. Yep.
Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Cool, mate. And also, check out the airfoil review on my blog. And try and guess the blooper in the video. Let me know.
Listen at 1 minute and 40 seconds. You'll love it.
Yeah, very funny. Steve, what about you, mate?
You can find me on Twitter as chatterbox_live.
Good stuff, mate. And Brent, what about you, mate? Are you going to be returning to the podcast, mate, or is this just a one-off?
We'll see. I don't know. But I'm on Twitter at Brent Wait Night, but I really don't even know how to read those things, so don't bother. Okay. Just send good thoughts to me through your psychic abilities. And have a good 2016.
Yeah, good stuff, mate. All right. Appreciate your time, Brent, for being on the show, mate. Good to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Good stuff, mate. Who else can I have an ask? Is that it, Daryl?
I think that's it.
That's it.
We're all done.
That's it, mate. Thank you guys for being on. Appreciate your time. And Jacob, you lost the game.
Ah, oh, crap.
I meant to say something funny at the end, Jacob, but you didn't.
Holy crap, Molly.
That's whack.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha, stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha, ha. Tech Webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer. Boom!